Remember the things that God has done for you before, because a lot of times when we're in crisis, when we're in need, when we're our hearts are breaking, we can't even remember anything that God has done. And so if we can just go back to a time, even if it was a long time ago, and we say, you know what, I remember this situation and God showed up and he helped me. Mm. And if we can remember that again and keep that in mind, it'll help us to pray again.
Hi, I'm Carol McLeod, and this is the Significant Women Podcast. Every episode is full of the personal stories, dynamic hope, and sage wisdom that women have gathered during the days of their uncommon life. I can't wait to introduce you to my guest today. Her name is Karen Moore. Get this, she's the author of over 120 inspirational books. That's right, I said 120. She's a former teacher, a new bride, and the mother of six. We'll be hearing her story today, as well as talking about her new book, Prayers to Strengthen the Soul. This is one of those interviews that was so much fun for me, and I know it's going to encourage you as well. So join me for part one of my conversation with Karen Moore. Get ready to lean in and listen. Well, Karen, thanks for joining us today on the Significant Women Podcast. Listen, I only know you by reputation, and I was reading everything about you. So you have written greeting cards.
You've written
120 books. You've taught, I think, at the high school and college level. You're a mom and a grandma. Like, is there anything you haven't done, like shoveling snow? Or...
I can't tap in.
But what I want to know about is writing for greeting cards. Like, how did that gig happen?
Oh, you know, it was really one of the best things in my life that happened to me. I always am so grateful, because I started out, as a lot of women, at least of my generation, did, thinking that I was going to be a teacher. And I was a teacher, and I really loved teaching. I taught 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. It was, you know, one of those amazing and why do I do this kinds of things. But I loved it. And as soon as I got a master's degree in education, I thought that was it, rest of my life in teaching. But it just happened that I was teaching at a school, and I was pretty young then. So 3 years in a row, as one of the young teachers, I would be what they call RIFT, you know, reduction in force. I'd be let go for the summer. And then if you were fortunate, they would hire you back in September, like the day before school started, and off you go. So the third year in a row that that happened to me, I went home and I was so disappointed, because I thought this time I wouldn't get that notice, but I had. And I just sat down in my dining room, I remember, and I happened to be sitting with my hand on what we used to call the yellow pages. You remember the yellow pages?
Oh, I do. Of course I do.
It was a thick book, and you know, it was, had all that information the internet now has at a push of a button. But anyway, I happened to be sitting next to it, and I just opened it up and I said, okay, God, is there some other thing I can do? And I lived in Cleveland, Ohio at the time, and the yellow pages opened up to American Greetings. And that was the beginning of my whole ride into the whole greeting card industry. I called, I said, what does it take to get to work there, to be a writer or an editor or something? And I didn't even know, actually, I'd never even thought about that people actually do this for a living. They write greeting cards for a living. It had never occurred to me until that day. And so over time, like just a few weeks, I was invited in for an interview. I took samples of writing that I had done as all through the years, just things that I hoped would make sense to them. And I ended up getting a job there. And it was an amazing time in my life. I learned so much that actually works with what I do today in terms of writing books, because when you're in that business, in the greeting card industry, you have to put yourself in the place of every person, every occasion, everything that's going on in someone's life, and try to relate to that so that you can say something that's going to mean something to them. So whether it's yet another birthday card, or it's the loss of a job, or the loss of a baby, or other things that hit all of us at some point, you have to find that voice that says, I'm right there with you. And that training over the several years I was there, and all the cards I got to write, not just there, but other companies, really made a difference, I think, in what I do today. So it was fun.
I'm sure it
was
did.
A fun job. I mean, I got to do Care Bears and strawberry shortcake cards, and, you know, a little character called Ziggy that was around at that time. And was just great fun. So it's a good way to
goodness.
Learn.
What a dream job. Yeah.
Yeah. In many ways it was.
So we see you now, Karen, as an accomplished author and speaker, having been part of 120 books. Like, that's a writer's dream. But I'm sure that life has not always been easy. So I want to hear about what you've been through as a woman. One of my questions I have for you is, have you always wanted to write ever since you were a little girl? How did God open these doors? But tell us Karen's story.
Okay. Well, I grew up in a very small town in upstate New York. And until I was older, I probably didn't realize what a gift
that
pause.
Was. Okay,
pause. Yes.
Where did you grow up in upstate New York?
In a little town called Unadilla. And Unadilla is on the Susquehanna River. It's very near Cooperstown. I actually went to college at State University of Oneonta for a bachelor's degree. So it's in that area. But it was a very quiet, easy place to grow up. And I was born to parents who were teenagers when they started out. And they ended up being married for 73 years. So I learned a lot about what it means to go through thick and thin, and mostly thin, as we were growing up, because we were often figuring out, okay, what's dad going to do for a job? Or, you know, mom worked also, and we babysat, and all of those kinds of things. So it was my mom and dad, and I had three sisters, and my dad could never get in the bathroom because there was always some girl in there. And in those days, we had just one bathroom. So it was a lot of learning. My parents, though they were young, I mean really young, 13 and 18 when they started out, managed to treat us well and teach us principles of life that have served me well. You know, be kind to your neighbors, help people out, bake goodies when you can, things like that. And so that was a good time in my life. And we went to a very little church in a place called Sand Hill. We walked to church, my sisters and I, did vacation Bible school. And, you know, so some of my early learnings were from there. So it was a country, kind of a country girl beginning of my life, but it was great. So
I love it. The best kind of beginning. So I'm from a small town in Western New York, Karen, between Buffalo and Rochester, where I grew up.
Okay.
So I know where you're from.
Yes. Well, it was a good, quiet, calm place. And sometimes I think today I'd almost wish I lived there again, just because it was easy to live there, you know.
Yes, so. To go back in time, but we can't.
No.
So you have six children.
I have six children with my husband. So I have three and he has three. And together we have six.
Okay. So how long have you and your husband been married?
We've been together now, it's 9 years in September.
So you're newlyweds.
We are, and we like it. It's been lots of fun. And we have adult children, and we are just grateful for all of them and are proud of all of them. They have each taken their own path, not necessarily our path, as you may understand, but the path that works for them. And so far, they're doing well, and they have their own children. And so we have 10 grandchildren or some such thing. I've got little ones who are 3 and 4, and older ones who are just graduating from high school. So they're
Okay,
great
so
people.
Karen, what would be a word of advice you would give a young bride, a woman who's just been married or is going to be married? What would be your word of advice to her from your vantage point in life?
Ah, that's such a good question. I wish someone had asked me that when I was 18. At 18, I got married for the first time. And I would say I knew absolutely nothing about myself. I didn't know who I wanted to be, who I was, who I should be. I just, this was the path that my family took. We went to school, we got married, that was the step we took. And now I would say that if I was talking to someone who was that young age or even a little older today, I would say make sure you know who you are so that when you marry someone, they aren't surprised to find out that you're not exactly what they thought. And also that you know who they are, because I think when we're very young, we're so idealistic that we haven't played with life enough to understand and recognize what actually works for us or what is meaningful to us. And so, yeah, that would be my thought, to just know everything you can about yourself before you make that kind of commitment. And even now, even getting married 9 years ago, I feel like I finally know who I am. And so this is the best pairing I probably ever could have made. I have the person who's perfectly right for me.
Well, we'll get back to Karen in just a minute, but I wanted to take some time just to thank you for listening to this podcast. I know women are so busy, and there are so many ways you could be spending your time, incredible blogs you could be reading, Bible studies you could be doing, but I want you to know that I never take you for granted. I appreciate every single one of you who read, who listen, or who join. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. As a matter of fact, I want to hear from you. It's true. I want to hear from you. If you have a prayer request, a comment, or a recommendation for a future guest on my podcast, you can email me personally, carol@carolmcleodministries.com. I can't wait to hear from you. But now, let's get back to my conversation with Karen Moore. Okay, so this is going to be an interesting question for you, Karen, but I have to ask it. What is
Okay.
it like? What is it like to fall in love later in life?
Ah,
Like,
wow.
are the bells and whistles and butterflies still there, or is it a different kind of love?
It's the same big love you always hoped it would be. I mean, I was a woman who probably was looking for love in all the wrong places as I was maturing and growing and trying to figure it out, because I didn't know what love should look like. I wasn't aware of, I didn't have that strong of an understanding of love. I had a sense of it from my parents because they were together forever, but and I think, to be honest, maybe people all do this in relationship where they fall in and out of love many times with, and hopefully with the same person. And I think maybe that's what my parents did. They worked through so many young years and hardships, and living on love was about all they were living on. And so I think for all of us, it's an understanding of what love means to you, but I feel like I have the love of my life, and it was exciting and wonderful to feel like that could happen even to me. You know, I had kind of given up on it, and actually my husband had too. He said over the years he had just decided it was never going to be possible. He didn't expect love. He said, "I just didn't expect love." And then you came along. And so it's been lovely.
Oh, I'm so happy for you. That's
Thank you.
wonderful. I hope
Thank
that
you.
gives hope to older single women. I hope that gives them hope that it can still happen. I love it. I love
You know,
it.
he's still cute.
Well, now
Sorry,
let's.
but I'm
Oh, is he cute?
He's cute. He's
I
just still
love
cute.
it.
Yeah.
Oh, you are in love. That's great. Well, now let's talk about what you do, Karen. So you
Okay.
are a writer, you're an author, you're a communicator, a speaker.
Yes.
And you have been part or have written over 120 inspirational books. Did you want to be a writer when you were a little girl? Or did the greeting card thing, is that what opened your soul to writing?
You know, I always wrote poetry and things like that right as a child, and I wrote little funny stories and things. And I didn't know that I wanted to be a writer in terms of making a living at it until my greeting card experience, which for me was such a ministry to try to speak to people and help people in every circumstance. And the thing about a greeting card is that you have to be able to say something meaningful in a short space.
Right.
And then you have to let someone believe that, hey, I would have said that. I would have written that. And then if they feel that, they'll buy it and they'll give it to the person they have in mind. And with the writing that I do today, that's the same mentality. You know, when I put up a blog, which I do a couple times a week, I'm trying to think of who's that person out there that needs this, that needs to hear this today, that it might help them. And when you write devotional books, of course, I write a lot of 365, so that's a daily, everyday, not easy to do, I will tell you. You want to say something that will, somebody will come back and read it and say, wow, I just needed that today. So, you know, writing makes me want to write. And these days, because of social media, we get to hear from readers, which initially, when I began this work, didn't happen. I've just been publishing for about 20 years. But it's wonderful to hear from people. And I have some awesome stories from people that have said, thank you for writing that book or this message. I so needed it. So yeah, I as long as my brain cells work, I want to write.
I hear you, sister. I hear you. Well, again, the title of your new book is Prayers to Strengthen Your Soul. I know that you've written on many different topics, sometimes more than once on a certain topic. But why, what was your motivation for writing a devotional about prayer?
You know, I for some I guess in the last few years, I have felt like people are maybe losing sight of how powerful prayer can be. And my concern was that they're not only losing that opportunity, but they actually have lost the how-to. You know, they're not sure how to talk to God. They're not sure when to pray or how to pray. And I just felt strongly that I needed to put messages out there that were prayers in the form of prayers, so that if somebody was going through that particular kind of thing, maybe this thought would be helpful. Maybe they would perceive it in a new way. And I have this acronym that I developed for prayer, which is PRAY. And for me, the P in that is just to pause, to stop, to ponder, to think about who God is, because In our world today, I think we sometimes lose sight of who God is. I think as even as believers, we're busy doing lots of things and we do important work, but I think sometimes we just forget that God is, I mean, he's the reason I'm walking on the ground I walk on. I need to think about that and really come to grips with that. And so my P is pause. Think about that. Think about who God is. My R is remember. Remember the things that God has done for you before. Because a lot of times when we're in crisis, when we're in need, when our hearts are breaking, we can't even remember anything that God has done. And so if we can just go back to a time, even if it was a long time ago, and we say, you know what? I remember this situation and God showed up. And he helped me. And if we can remember that again and keep that in mind, it'll help us to pray again. And then the A is ask, of course. Ask what's on your heart. Ask what you're thinking about. Ask what you need. Because God wants it all. He wants to hear. He loves you so much. He just almost can't stand it when you don't want to talk to him. So for him, this is like, you're not bugging me. You're helping, you're coming to me with something that's important. And the Y is just yield. Yield, meaning surrender, give your heart to it, allow God to speak to you. We have a friend who wrote a book called Two Chairs, which is great. His name is Bob Bodine. And in that book, he says, we're so used to talking that we will, in our prayers, do all the talking and forget to give God any time at all. So he says, if you're going to pray for 5 minutes, here's the new deal. You get to talk for 1 minute. And God gets to talk for four. So, I've tried that. I've tried pulling up a chair and one for me, one for God, and listening, just trying to learn to listen. It's not easy, but it's helpful.
Karen, often when I talk to women about prayer or about their prayer life, I've heard women say that whenever they hear a teaching on prayer or see a book about prayer, it makes them feel guilty because they know that they're not disciplined. And one of my favorite quotes about prayer is this: you don't have to be good at prayer to get the job done. You just have to mean it. If you've been encouraged by today's episode, would you just take another minute or two and leave a rating or a review on iTunes for the Significant Women podcast? Also, don't forget that you can subscribe to my YouTube channel and get all of the Bible studies, all of the teachings, all of the interviews right there. Now, you can find me online at carolmcleodministries.com, or you can download our app for your smartphone. Just go to the App Store on your smartphone, search for Carol McLeod Ministries, and it is a free app. Now, let me tell you how you can connect with Karen more, because I know you're going to want to do that. You can connect with Karen at her website, which is karenmore, MOORE.com. And I just really want to encourage you, if you know somebody who's going through a hard time, buy a copy of Karen's new book for them, Prayers to Strengthen Your Soul. And my goodness, all of our souls need strengthening, don't they? You can buy this book at her website, at Amazon, Christian Books, or really wherever books are sold. Well, before we end today's episode, as you know, I always like to leave you with just some scripture. The Bible is eternal, and it's really scripture that has eternal impact on each one of our souls. This is what Psalm 42, verse 5 says: "Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence." Listen to that phrase, for the help of his presence. I don't know what you need help for today, but the Lord would love for you to spend time in his presence, where there's always fullness of joy. Be sure to join me next week for part two of my conversation with Karen Moore.